بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Iman is the base. In a building, without the base, you can't imagine the structure remaining straight. You put it up and then it's collapsed. Try again for the second time, third time. As it goes up, it just goes down. So the Iman is the basis. In life, Allah creates signs, symptoms, where you can make out the strength, right? Or you can make out an illness. You check the blood to make out whether the person has got sugar. It's all symptoms. The doctor that said that he's got sugar, did he see the sugar? The doctor that said he's got pressure, did he see it? Some symptoms, from the symptoms he made out, he's got sugar, cholesterol, and got a pressure, right? These are all creations of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala has created some symptoms. So there are signs and symptoms for the strength of the Iman as well. That is, this person's Iman, is it strong? Or is it weak? What's the strength of the Iman? Right. Now sometimes there are certain phrases that people quote, but it's just monkey business. Most of it is monkey business. Monkey see, monkey do. So we just hear that don't be judgmental. One person heard it, another monkey copied him, and so forth and so on. If this statement that don't be judgmental was right, then the doctor didn't have the right to say it's got sugar. He's being judgmental. He didn't see it himself. He just saw some symptoms. From the symptoms he ruled out, the person needs to go and check his sugar out immediately. Symptoms, and he came to a conclusion. So the same law will apply to Iman. Now what is the strength of the Iman? That's going to be the gauge. Motor car, what a gauge. It's telling you the speed that you are traveling at, right? You can check the pressure of the tires. Everything can be checked up, right? So there is going to be some sign, some symptom. You can't make it out, but there is an inbuilt computer or something that will say, alright, this is the pressure, this is the fuel, this is the speed, etc. So you move with these signs and symptoms. Now the question is then, how do you determine the strength of the Iman? Allah Pak has created a sign for everything. Then there must be a sign to determine the strength of Iman as well. هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ الرِّيَاحَ بُشْرًا بَيْنَ يَدَيْ رَحْمَتِي. Before the mercy of Allah Ta'ala pours down as rain, then Allah Ta'ala sends a wind. The wind is some clouds, and then people make out now the mercy of Allah is going to be showering just now in a few moments. Animals, birds will run for the sanctuary, right? So they will understand that this is a sign. Now when he's created a sign for everything, right, he must have created a sign for Iman as well. You see a person, he's walking and he's very weak, seems to be very sluggish. So you say there's something wrong with the person. When you see he's weak, he's sluggish, he's not like his normal self, you say he's not right, right? But really, you didn't see the weakness within him, but you passed a judgment against him. So this, you see the outside and you make a judgment against the person. So now, how do you judge, and how do you determine the strength of the Iman? Iman is the base. If that base has to be checked up, it must be checked up. The heart is the base. If it has to be improved and corrected, it must be done. You cannot tell the doctor now, You're being judgmental. Go and check it out, go and correct it, rectify it. There's some chance, there's some hope, inshallah, you'll go well. But you just ignore it and suddenly you have a blowout, total heart failure, and it's your problem. There were some symptoms that were coming up and you ignored them entirely. You waited for this moment where you exploded. Now there's no way to recover, no way to reverse. So now, how do you make out that the iman is right? Because the heart, iman is like the heart. That is right, the whole thing is going right. And that is not right, the whole thing is not working out. So, in about 5 or 8 places in the Quran, Sharif, Allah Bak speaks about it. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. So the true believers, one very basic sign is when Allah Pak is spoken about or they remember Allah Ta'ala, they reminded of Allah Ta'ala, they remember Allah Ta'ala or Allah Ta'ala is spoken about, then the hearts feel a tremor. That's a sign that this person holds Allah Ta'ala in esteem, in awe, in respect, with all His majesty, with all His glory. So if Allah Ta'ala is spoken about, then his heart feels a tremor, right? Like, if one of us were to hear, Allah Ta'ala protect us all, that there is a summons against you, right? You have to appear in court. There is a summons against you, and you have to appear in court within 3 days. So when you get the message straight away, how do you feel? It may be a false news, maybe a propaganda, it may be a rumor, but the moment they say that there is some commission against you, there's an inquiry against you, you're going to be receiving a summons very shortly, how do you feel for that moment? So you feel traumatized, you feel overwhelmed, you feel afraid for that moment, right? So by the same token, when you hear of Allah Ta'ala, do you feel any movement within you? Do you feel a tremor? Do you feel overwhelmed? Do you feel overawed? So the first sign is this, that you feel that feeling that you overwhelmed. This was the way of the old. You hear the name of Allah Ta'ala, the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala, appearing before Allah Ta'ala, and it sends a tremor in their hearts. Harun al-Rashid, he's with his entourage, hundreds of people traveling one place to the other, and a king that is undisputed, ruling at that time the major populated area of the world at that time. So now you can understand his power, the extent of his kingdom, the might, the glory that he wields, right? As he's coming out, this entourage with all the pride and the glory, and one Jew stands up and he says, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, ittaqillah. Leader of the believers, fear Allah Ta'ala. Just one sentence. So he's conscientized, he's reminded, he's apprised of Allah Ta'ala. So what is his response? How does he respond to it? As he's with his infantry or with his army and all that, he just jumps off. He jumps off the animal, gets into sajda, cries for a long time, sees to the Jew whatever his needs are, and then he mounts again. And then he says that, I didn't get shaken up because of this Jew, but because the words that he said, ittaqillah, are you conscious of Allah Ta'ala? Are you aware of Allah Ta'ala? And he's an ordinary subject, and normally despised, looked down upon, but he had to just remind him of Allah Ta'ala, and he got shaken up. Straight away falls to sajda, and he says, I did this when he said, ittaqillah. So I thought of the verse, إِذَا قِيلَ لَهُ اتَّقِ اللَّهِ أَخَذَتْهُ الْعِزَّةُ بِالْإِثْمِ فَحَسْبُهُ جَهَنَّمُ. It is Akhnas ibn Shurayk, a mushrik, right? So when he is conscientized of Allah Ta'ala, he is reminded of Allah Ta'ala, his pride has the better over him. أَخَذَتْهُ الْعِزَّةُ, his pride has the better over him. He shows an attitude. when he is reminded of Allah Ta'ala, he is warned of Allah Ta'ala, then his pride has the better over him. So when this person said, Ittaqillah, this verse just flashed on my mind. I said, Labal, whatever it is, I don't want to be grouped with this person. Because you are saying, Fahazbu Jahannam, Jahannam is enough for this person. I don't want to be ever grouped. I rather just humble myself, whatever it's worth, humble myself. Jumped off, made sajda, cried, there's any mistake and discrepancy, Labal must forgive him. See this consciousness, this awareness of Allah Ta'ala, and what it does to a person. So there's three things that we need to put in place. One is the iman. Either innama kana qawl innamal mu'minuna alladhina amanu billahi innamal mu'minuna amanu billahi wa rasuli, right? Innamal mu'minuna idha dhukira Allah wajilat qulubuhum. So one is to get the iman right. So the iman will have a certain response. How do you respond? If you the iman is right, then how do you respond? And the iman has to be cultivated. It has to be cultivated. See, although it's life, although the iman is there, but it has to be cultivated, it has to be nurtured, brought up, strengthened. We cannot say, no, I inherited iman is enough. The child that is born today, right? I ask if he is not nursed, not provided the right type of nutrition, nourishment, etc., what will happen to the child? Either he will die, or he will grow up as a very weak person. So he needs all the attention, all the focus, all the affection, all the type of compassion, he needs all that. The right type of treatment, all that must be right? If he gets older, then he is well developed mentally, physically, emotionally. He has all that support he's got. But if one of those things were not right, he didn't get the affection, he didn't get the compassion, he didn't get the nourishment, he didn't get the love and attention, so the child is going to be deficient in some regards. In some respect, he's going to be deficient. Now that iman also, it requires all the attention. For that iman to be perfect, to be strong, and then to be able to take on any type of challenge of time, and that iman needs to be very well rooted. إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِيلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. See, what this consciousness and what this awareness of Allah Ta'ala does to the person. Al-Mu'atami Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, he gets up at about 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning. Hearing a groan from the neighbor, hearing a crying sound, someone is in pain and distress. Immediately, he tries to find out what's the problem. Here the neighbor is in problem. The neighbor's daughter-in-law is in labor. Right? Now, it doesn't relate to him in any way. It's not his family, it's not his household, it is just a neighbor. So it's not the family, not the household. But now look, you see this consciousness, إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ. When Allah Ta'ala is spoken about, you remind the person of Allah Ta'ala, he is reminded of Allah Ta'ala, and what he does to him. So it doesn't leave him settled. He's very uneasy. And Umar radiallahu al-Mu'tamir is a descendant, right? So when the thought of Allah Ta'ala comes to him, in Bukhari Sharif it stated that, كَانَ وَقَّافًا أَمَامَ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. When he's heard about Allah Ta'ala, immediately puts brakes, right? Imagine someone, Umar is moving, right? And, you know, to put it literally, as though he's traveling 350, he's driving. And to be able to put brakes immediately, it's not anybody's guess. But now he was of that caliber. So if he got angry, and he's conscientized, then immediate brakes. Now, we can't go and imitate Umar and say, no, he was also ashadduhum fi amrillah. But if he was severe in these matters, then he had the brakes as well. He knew what to apply the brakes. If he was severe, then he knew exactly this is where I need to put the brakes. The hadith where someone wanted to speak to Umar radiallahu anhu. So he saw the shura, one shura member, like a parliament. He is the member. So I spoke to him to introduce me to Umar radiallahu anhu. Now, person goes in, he was introduced, right, and he goes in to meet Umar radiallahu anhu. So this person complains, "Oh Umar, you are not doing justice, you are not seeing to us." But for a moment Umar radiallahu anhu was disturbed, because he knows the whole system is going very well. And now this person is a freak. He's just making a false propaganda. He was disturbed at this. When he was disturbed at this, so the one that made the recommendation, he says, "Amir al-Mu'minin, Allah Pak says, خُذِ الْعَفْوَ وَأَمُورُ بِالْعُرْفِ وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ. Overlook. And go on encouraging the good. But people that are ignorant or behave in an ignorant way, just ignore them. And Ya'amir al-Mu'minin, this person is a jahil. He's coming from the village, he's jahil, he doesn't know." And there Umar is going, like I said, 300, right? And straight away, right? Imam Bukhari says, "Kana waqafan in amam Allah." When Allah was, he's reminded of Allah, straight breaks. But it's gone so high, but to put the brakes immediately, this is anybody's work. That is Umar radiallahu anhu. So Mu'tanbi Rahmatai is a descendant. When he's a descendant, so there's going to be something in him, some color, which there will be some color. That consciousness of Allah Ta'ala is keeping Umar radiallahu anhu uneasy. When the whole world is asleep, he's patrolling the streets of Medina Munawwara. How's this person, how's that person, this person here, some new person has come to Medina, he's a traveler. So you see what is keeping him awake. This person is, I'm the Amir al-Mu'minin, and this person is uneasy. What have I done for him? If I am a Christian by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what answer will I have? And each person is going to check up. And strangely, people that he'll go and check up, you know, the traveler coming in late part of the night, seeing to the person's needs at that point of the time, and that person will give a compliment. "You are supposed to be the Amir al-Mu'minin, not Umar. You're supposed to be the Amir al-Mu'minin and not Umar." See, so what brought about this was this consciousness, this awareness. إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِيلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. We're talking about Mu'tani Sahib Rahmatullahi, because he's of contemporary times. Here he's hearing the groan of a woman, inquiry, it's a neighbor, she's in neighbor, he's in labor. Now, at that time, Mawlana required a compulsory bath. You can well imagine a winter in India, in that part of the world, UP, right? Because it's right on the boundaries of the Himalayas, right? So severe, intense cold. But this woman here, she needs attention. Attention means I must make dua, read some namaz, or give her some dua, some Quran Sharif, whatever it is, right? A Quran Sharif, you have to recite something, Yasin or something, for the easy delivery. I can't read it because I'm in the state. So I can't do this. But now it's a neighbor. If Allah Ta'ala were to ask me tomorrow, "Your neighbor was in distress, what did you do to alleviate the pain? You stepped as sound as a rock. You were totally disconcerned." Hazrat Imam Rasulullah Sahib Rahmatullah, he quotes this and he says, "This is tasawwuf, right? Tasawwuf is not just one thing, you hold on to one thing and you're moving on. What is required at which moment? What is required at which moment? At that time, what was required?" And to be able to do that, you need to have the understanding. It is unanimously agreed that the most virtuous of the sunnat namaz is the two sunnats of Fajr. Everybody agrees on that, right? Even more virtuous than tahajjud, the two rakats of the fajr, right? Al-Mu'ay is in fajr namaz, and there is a complaint, or someone just shouts, you know, that the family has fallen, right? Now he's in the midst of his namaz, the buzurg of the time, standing before Allah Ta'ala in the best of namazes, but immediately he breaks his namaz and he attends to his family. Amongst the public, there is mixed responses. Only say one response is, ye to zan murid hai, ye to zan murid hai. He is the murid of his wife. So that's the one type of response. And the other response is, this man has got the right understanding of deen. He got like the Sahaba Ikram's understanding of deen. See the response. This response is, he is zan murid. He is a murid of his wife. And this response is, this man is the right man. He has got the right understanding. What is to be done at which moment? Now, Noah hears the groaning. The thought is flashing in his mind that if Allah Ta'ala were to ask me, that your neighbor, and what did he do to alleviate the distress? But the hadith says, Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir falyukrim jara. One that believes in Allah Ta'ala is the reason. So see this iman. What iman must prompt you to do? Then you need to honor your neighbor like you would honor your guest, then your neighbor also you must honor. So what did you do then? What answer do I have? We have an answer. See the requisite, the strength of the iman. What will determine the strength of the iman? Now we hear of some crisis in some part of the world, Kashmir, here, there, wherever we say. So the furthest we will take it, give it a discussion, and at the end, yeah, see how Muslims are being downtrodden, etc., etc., oppressed. Anything beyond that. I ask you, we discussing about it, making it a discussion, did it bring any benefit to them? Did it bring any benefit to you? Nothing to them, nothing to you. What you could have done is help them financially if you could. Or the least you could have done is spend 15-20 minutes in dua. Did you ever do that? 15 minutes. By the way, you say, Allahumma ansuril mu'mineena fi kulli makam, fi Kashmir wa Syria. Finish, end of the story. 1 second and finished. Is that the meaning of ikram? Is that the meaning of the strength of faith? At least 15 minutes, 20 minutes, some part of the day or night you dedicate it. You see, it's someone's mother, someone's sister, someone's daughter, what's happening to them, right? And you are totally composed, calm, not moved in the least. So the least you could have done, at least 10 minutes in dua. Sometime you came early to the masjid, or you were at home in the musalla, and you worked out the time for them. What am I doing for my brethren? And you do not know what tear will bring, what type of a change. What tear will bring, what type of a change will bring. Allah Pak is the doer. But there must be some reason for Allah Ta'ala. There must be some cause, right? Allah Pak doesn't need it. But then, when these things come up, right, you're bringing the effort to the right level, to the right proportion, then it is the way of Allah Ta'ala. When it comes to the right level, He allows it to happen. The sugar is at the right level, He allows the milk to become sweet, right? The dua is Allah Ta'ala. Who is the dua? Allah Ta'ala. When you brought it to the right level, it became sweet. So the same, the dua and the crying, the tears has to come to the right level, Allah Ta'ala will bring about the effect. The effect will bring about. So Murad requires a compulsory bath, right? It's about 12 o'clock, almost 12, 1 o'clock in the morning, winter's night, how cold. And in Thanabon and the villages there at that time, there's no communal water to go to the well, pump the water out, warm the thing, have a ghusl, right? Do everything else. Now he took all it on himself. I can't be at ease when my neighbor when she is in distress, I'm not a doctor, not a gynae, but what I can do within my capacity, let me do to alleviate and relieve the person. So now, who will do this? The one that has got the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala at heart. I'll be standing before Allah Ta'ala one day. There'll be nobody coming on my side. Kulluhum aatihi yawm al-qiyamati farda. I'll be coming one and alone before Allah Ta'ala, one on one. And do I have my answers ready? Have I done anything for this person? See how, what responses you will find. And the response shows the strength of the iman. This is the response. So this shows and indicates the strength of the iman. Mulana's family has prepared something. After meals, you have something, you pop something, popcorn or something. So, women's habit now, after everything is done, some dessert, something, all take a pride on their husbands, right? And these Buzurganadeen, they are very gentle, very, very, very compassionate, loving, caring. Sometimes they don't need the thing. But then, just to respect the person's feeling that he took the pain, he went through the difficulty to prepare all this thing here. Now I must ignore this thing totally. What will he do to this person's feeling? She served, she's undergone the pain, the difficulty, and I ignore this entirely. I don't respect the hard work that went behind it. Really, it's not right. So out of respect, consideration, one is having something. You see this iman. And what behavior that iman brings about. What behavior that iman brings about. So anyway, we are talking about this consciousness, this awareness of Allah Ta'ala. Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, look at this consciousness, right? So, the whole idea is for us to connect rightly to Allah Ta'ala. That's the whole idea, right? You've got the right connection and everything is moving. The right connection must be that when we come at the end, then it is told to us, Ya ayyatuha nafsul mutma'inna irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiya. You are a soul that was conforming, in conformity, right? So therefore, you are radiyatan mardiya. You are like, in our words, radiyallahu anhum wa radu'an, right? Radiyallahu anhum wa radu'an. So that's what we want at the end. But as we come into the end, the finishing line, then this will be told to us that you are amongst the radiyallahu anhum wa radu'an. Allah Pak is pleased and you are pleased. Isn't the thing that we want? So we're striving to that. That's the winning end. At that winning post, this is what must be told to us. Allah Pak is pleased and you be pleased as well. So is there anything higher than that? There's nothing beyond that. This is what we aim for, this is what we live for, this is what we sacrifice for. So, our elders say that this connection can be very easy. But it's a little bit of mental work that you need to do, not a strain also, just a little bit of mental work, something in the mind. And what is required is whatever we are doing, and we're doing it with that niyyah that this is the way of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam encouraged this, therefore I'm doing it. Small actions, coming to the masjid, then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam liked us and taught us to come with the right foot. Bismillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, lawma kulli dhanbi waftahli abwaba rahmati. Simple things, going out to the left. And this is what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us, right? Going to the toilet, the left, and dua that is to be recited. And coming out, and the dua that is to be recited, going to sleeping on the right, or at least starting off sleeping on the right, then you can turn obviously, but you start off sleeping on the right, and then your palm is under your cheek, and you're reciting the dua, Allahumma bismika amutu wa ahya. Simple things, but with that in frame of mind, that this was the teaching of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and therefore I'm doing it. I'm doing it because he taught us, he encouraged us. So with that frame of mind, someone does that, then as though spiritually he is with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Although perhaps sometimes you may not see Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, But you are with Nabi Sallam spiritually. At any given time, in the words of the Shah Wasila Sahib from there, as though you are with Nabi Sallam. But that consciousness of the mind at any given time, that this is what Allah Pak's Nabi wanted me to do, so I'm doing it like this. You're walking on the street, right? So Allah Pak's Nabi, what he wants from you? قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُدُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Lower your gaze. Don't look at the things that will tempt you wrongly, right? Lower your gaze. So I'm doing it, why Allah Pak's Nabi wanted me to do it like this, with that frame of mind. You entered your home, then what was the way of Nabi Sallam when he entered the home? He made miswak, that was one of the first things. Then he made salam, then the dua, Bismillah walajna, Bismillah kharajna, wa alallahi rabbina tawakkalna, right? When leaving the home, what duas Nabi Sallam would read? Because he read these duas, therefore I'm reading these duas. This is how he met his family, so therefore I meet the family in this manner, right? So that must be the overwhelming thought in the mind. That Nabi Sallam did it like this, so I'm doing it like this. He did it like this, therefore I'm doing it like this. So you get the iman right, and at the second level get the niyat right. Iman, and after you got the iman right, or with simultaneously, you get the niyat right as well. See, iman compared to the niyat is like, iman is like you confirm the employment. I'm working for you. So iman is like I confirm the employment, right? I ask you, without me confirming the employment with you, can I start working for you? You are recognized. Oh, you did it. Jazakallah. Carry on. But I confirm the employment, that is iman. Then the second thing is the niyat. Right? The niyat is like the salary that I'll get at the end of the month. See, the boss said this is the hours I must fill in, 8 to 8. I must do this type of work. So I'll do the work, I'll get the remuneration, I'll get the reward. So that's the niyat, right? So I need to just complete the hours, and I'll be eligible to the salary. And the third thing in the equation is ihtisab. See, the hadith speaks about it repeatedly. Ihtisab is do it with that frame of mind that this act is going to bring this type of a reward. This act will bring about this type of a reward with that frame of mind. Now, again, come to the shop. You confirm employment, that was iman. Made niyat, I'm coming from this time to that time so that I'll get 5,000 naira at the end of the month, right? That was the niyat. Ihtisab, with a frame of mind, that I must reach a certain target and I will get a certain perk. I will get a certain benefit. But I must do a certain thing and the boss will see me right. Tell me, all right, you're doing all these things here, this, and at the end of the year, you're carrying on like this, you're doing it like this, I'm asking you, I'm going to give you a brand new Merc, out of the box, S-class. Now I ask you, what will be the level of action? One is the person getting a straight salary. Right. So you'll do his work a little bit here and there, he'll do it. But the boss promised him, and you know, he's a just person, he will honor his word, he will do everything to fulfill his promise, to keep his promise. You are getting a brand new S-class Mercedes, full house, with all the extras, all the features, you're getting it. Plus, 200,000 kilometers free. Fuel, service, everything paid for. Then what will happen? Now, I ask you, with that frame of mind, you're doing that work, how you do the work? Hey, I must see to it, I won't get anything wrong here. No, what a big burden it took away from my mind. Petrol, the servers, the motor car, everything I got all sorted out. I must get it A class. Won't that be in the frame of your mind? So that is ihtisab. Okay. Nabi said, for example, you kept the rosas right, you got a clean sheet, everything is clean for you. You did the roza right, namaz you did right, tarawih you did it right, wufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi, all your gunas, everything is wiped off, clean. You died now, you're going straight jannat. What is S-class Mercedes? Before jannat is nothing more than a plastic toy. It's just a toy, nothing real, it's just a toy, no substance.
And Allah is promising you that. So you see, this is ihtisab. So that frame of mind. Like this person is promised about that milk, and what does he do? It brings about the life in the person. That life it brings, right? So you leaving home for Fajr Namaz, right? If you leaving home for Fajr Namaz. The Hadith says, leaving home for Fajr Namaz, فَهُوَ فِي ضَمَانِ اللَّهِ. You are in the protection of Allah Ta'ala. So if from that point till you reach the masjid, if anything happens to you, died, you are in Allah's in His guarantee. You are in His responsibility, He's guaranteed you. Everything is guaranteed for you, nothing. Nothing out of the guarantee. You just left the home, but you're leaving with that freedom of mind. Does it make a difference? Or you just stroll him and just jump into the car, half-heartedly, full-heartedly, come, do a prayer and move out. No, I say, hey, I need to get this. This is ihtisab, this is what it will do to you. You're hearing about the Jummah, right, for example, now, you got that ihtisab. I must bathe nicely, put on good clothing, apply iftar, there's any unwanted hair, clean it up, I'm making miswak, any foul smell, I'm getting rid of that, right? Then I'm coming on foot to the masjid, right? For every step, 1 year of nafal namaz, 1 year of tahajjud, 1 year of roza, for every step, what will be your take then? How will you do it? Will you just stroll to the masjid? Or there'll be life in you. So what the ummah requires in this day and age is to reflect over this virtue that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has promised and work with that ihtisab. So that brings about life. Like it's real now. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is telling you and you're doing it. So you can feel the divine presence. You can feel the presence of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Although you're not seeing there, but you can feel His presence. Now all of the Zugaridin had this adherence to the Sunnah very, very firmly. They knew what that adherence was, so what he'll do to any about it. Muhammad Ilyas Sahib, rahmatullah alayh, he's in his final illness, right? But look at the adherence, look at the firmness on the Sunnah. So, he was weak at the time, and he couldn't remove his leather socks. He's struggling, you know, someone is sick, so he can't sit up nice, he can't remove the socks correctly. So the Khadim tried to assist him to remove the socks. And the process, he started with the right, so Ma jerked his foot. He pulled his foot. Now, they were worried, now he needs to get the socks out, and we pulling it out, and he's jerking his foot. What's going on? So they reported it to his son, Ma Yusuf Rahmatullahi, said perhaps the people start with the right. In this illness also, fatal, last illness, there too, he doesn't want to leave out the Sunnah. Can you see the firmness of the Sunnah? So that is why they worked with so much of acceptance. So this is the thing that gets at Nisbat. You know, son of Nisbat, to get that relationship with Allah Ta'ala permanently, where He is pleased and you are pleased with Allah Ta'ala. That's what you want. But then for every work that you're doing with this frame of mind, that this was the work of my Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, my dear Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He was doing it. My beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he was doing this. Let me do it like this. Even in that state, he is not oblivious, not forgetful. Hazrat Mujaddid Al-Fasani, rahmatullahi, and he is also in his illness, and fatal illness. And in that illness, he is going into bouts of unconsciousness, it's just fainting, collapsing. Right? At one such stage, when he just fainted, he just collapsed. So he urinated, right? Or the Khadim understood that they need to clean him. But now the firmness on the Sunnah is at such a level. See the firmness of the Sunnah. That's why our Buzanuddin say that the person has got so much of karamat that he is flying on the air. Hundreds of times he's doing that. Right. On the contrary, this person is just acting on the Sunnah. He's just coming into the masjid with the right foot for the dua. This person's reward is far in excess of that person who's doing all the karamat. Because this will bring him closer to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It'll bring him closer to Allah Ta'ala. It'll bring him closer to the real ends. And this one here, there's a chance that perhaps he may think too much of himself. He's seeing this, and say, I'm doing this, and I can do this. So he may just slip into a frame of mind, see, mera maqam kya hai. Now in that state, when he's semi-conscious, and they have to change him to clean him, right? So they're pulling out his pants, and the khadim accidentally pulled out the right side. He shook his leg. But he's in a semi-state of consciousness, but do you see that adherence to the sunnah? People are talking about, you know, things that are very ikhtiyari, must die like this and die, but that's not in your ikhtiyar. But what is in your ikhtiyar is to be adhering to the sunnah. Small sunnah, don't say it's just a small sunnah, no, don't say that. One person said this, ye to sunnat hi hai, ye to sunnat hi to hai. Wahan Yaqub sahab rahmatullah said, aapki baat to sahi hai ki ye sunnat hi hai, lekin aapka lehja kufrana hai. This, the tone that you said it is bordering with disbelief. Because it's istighfar, you thought low of a sunnah. You didn't show it the importance, you didn't show it the respect. See now that adherence to the sunnah. Al-Mawad Gangway Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, there's a Dioban Jalsa. And immediately the azan is going, and straight away now it's between the Zohar, azan and namaz in Dioban is half an hour, right? Half an hour. So he's got his wuzu and he's proceeding towards the masjid. And now, you know, people see a wuzu now, Musafa, lines of people. There's, in the meanwhile, the Imam Sahib is on the Musalla and he started Allahu Akbar. Just after a few moments, Wala joined in. He got the first rakat, but he just. And after the namaz, the Khadim noticed that was full of distress. Wow, but just before the namaz, you were so happy meeting people with so much of joy and happiness. And after the namaz, you were so overwhelmed with distress. What happened? He says, afsos ki baat hai, I'm not supposed to be sharing this, but after 23 years I've missed out the Takbir Ula. So this has brought me so much of distress. Does it bring us, bring anything to us? Got Takbir Ula, didn't get it, got the namaz with jamaat, or didn't get it ready at home, or does it bring any type of feeling to us? And yet a man got it for 23 years, he got a Takbir Ula, but one day he couldn't get it, it brought such a concern. So this adherence to the sunnah, what it does? You hold on to the sunnah. The one thing it does, al-muhabbatu fi qulubi salihin. The righteous people begin to respect you, they begin to love you. Righteous. Right? Al-haybatu fi qulubi al-fajara. The sinful people that are away from deen, they are overwhelmed at your presence. In India they used to call it a collector. Yeah, in our, for our usage, you say a member of parliament, right? Somebody equal. So in the day of the English, and the collector, the MP, he came around to meet Mawad Gangway Rahmatullah. He didn't explain that he's coming to meet, but he came to meet. Mawad, you know, he's coming. Mawad closed the door, sat inside, didn't see him. After a year or so, he's coming for his rounds again, and Mulana was notified that the MP is coming again, the white MP is coming, and Dioban is some problems with the government, right? So if Mulana just meets him, he will look at the Dioban problem favorably. Now just for the sake of the madrasa, Mulana took the pain to go and meet him. So as Mulana just approached the threshold, you know, the outside of the house, the MP came out himself. He was, he is shivering like this. These parliament members, they don't fight for anything. And here he's just like this. And in that state of shiver, he asked, Mawlana, kuch nasihat farmaye, tell us, give us some advice. So Mawlana says, Allah Ta'ala ne aap logo ko hukumat di, kisi ke upar zulm nahi karna. Allah Pak has given you kingdom, it doesn't mean you must take advantage of people. Don't make zulm. Otherwise Allah Pak will take this away from you. Anyway, Mawlana left. As Mawlana left, he's asking, ye kaun the? He doesn't still know. He says, you know, you were wanting to meet, those people that fought against the English, this was one of the persons on the front line. He said, Mera dil to duk duk kar raha tha. Duk duk kar raha. You know, when he came, my heart was just pounding like that. Whatever you would have said, I would have just heard it. But you see that, Al-haybatu fi qulubil fajara. You act on the sunnah and you see things will happen. But with a frame of mind, that this is Mere Pyare Nabi ki sunnat hai. Ye sunnat hai, ye sunnat. From now, see Ramadan, I said last week also, it's 4 months. And we make an effort, inshallah, who knows, that some nisbat, some connection. Without the connection, you can't move. You need that connection. Everything starts working out when there's a connection. The lights are not connected, anything can work. So you need the connection of the light for everything to work. But this is what is required. One is, again, iman, right? Then the niyat. The third is ihtisab. Look up the virtues. You've got the fazail amal. What are the virtues of Ramadan, sari, iftar? And I'm doing it with that niyat, with that frame of mind. Not doing it as per routine. But as, are you wearing clothes now, right? You're putting the right sleeve first, then the left. You're reading a dua, whatever dua. And you cannot say it's difficult. My late mother, rahimahullah, so she used to forget to read the takbir at the shriek. So she asked one of her daughter-in-laws, just write it out for me and paste it there, you know, in front of where I read namaz. So when I read my first, I can see that thing, I can read it straight away. So exactly the same concept, we need to read a dua, right? I know, before sleeping, these are 5 duas. And I can't get it one shot. But I can piece it at my head side. To do the aesthetics of the house, what don't you do? Put this one here, that tile. By to get that sawab. That if you read that and you died as a shaheed. Can't you just bargain for that? Write the dua, write it nicely. You saw the dua, you read it when you saw it right at your head side. And you got the fazilat. You read this, this is going to be the virtue. So you read it and then you went to sleep. How great. Just complying with the sunnah. Small, small sunnahs that we can practice. Al-Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi, he is in Medina Munawwara. And he's coming for ziyarat, right? So, those that have seen the haram originally, say about 25, 30 years ago, that the place where you stand up, stand to make ziyarat, right, was a little bit different. There wasn't a barricade. So you could go right to the Jali Mubarak. The Jali Mubarak, you go right to that point. Now they've got a barricade, so you can't even go close, right? So, there are those that used to go right to the Jali Mubarak, touch the thing, all right, for the barakat sake. So Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahman says, but I used to stand by a pillar and I would do my salam from there. Then the thought is running in my mind, but you know, these people are so fortunate, they go right to the Jali Mubarak, touching, they gave you the barakat. And you mahroom, you're sitting here, so you bring your salams. He says, whilst all this was happening, I got the message coming, as though the message was from the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, right? I got it, I heard that thing. The message said that those that are even near and holding my jali, but they don't conform to my sunnah, then they are not close to me. They are distant from me. They are right here holding on, but they are not conforming to my sunnah, to my way. Then they are a distant away. They are not near me. They are not anywhere near to me. But on the contrary, people that are thousands of miles away from me, but they are conforming to the sunnah firmly. Like I said, you know, your iman is right. The second level, your niyat is right. And the third level, as the hadith says, your ihtisab is right. That my Nabi mentioned this virtue for this practice I'm doing with that frame of mind. And those people are close to me, although physically they may seem to be thousands of miles away from me, but really, effectively, they are the closest to me. And when the message is telling me, I heard that verse, Muhammad says, that, or logo ke saamne is baat ko bayan karo. Mention this to people as well. But you see where they're going. They are thinking one line, and where he is teaching is taking us. This is a physical physical thing, you want to have that nearness, you want to touch that. But that's not the gauge. The gauge is this, the strength and the firmness to adhering the sunnah. How firmly do you do this thing? It's a sulah of Hudaybiyah, right? And Usman al-Ghani radiallahu anhu, there was a discussion now who to be sending into Makkah Mukarramah to go and comfort the weak muhajirs, the weak Meccan Muslims, right? The weak, and they couldn't migrate, they couldn't come out of Makkah Mukarramah. Some are old women, some are little children, but they are true Muslims, but they don't have the ability. They don't have that ability to move out. So now someone must come and reassure them, don't worry, you're lying, you're with us, and all about, we'll open the doors just now, right? So there was a discussion who's to be sent. So her Usman Adiyan's name was suggested, because those leaders there, they hold her Usman in esteem. So if he's held in esteem, then his passage to Makkah Mukarramah also will be very easy and respected. So the reason that instructs Usman is that you go in, right? And as people had thought that he would be held in esteem and received well, so he was received with respect, and there was and with a lot of protection, right? So the leaders of Makkah Mukarramah had come out and they're given him the reception. They stood by his side that nobody can touch you. Do what you want, but nobody will touch you. Anyway, they take him around and he's going to the weaker Muslims, giving them the comfort that nobody will touch you, nothing will happen to you, don't worry. So one of these heads of the mushrikeen, he is asking Umar radiallahu anhu, Usman al-Ghani radiallahu anhu, you see Usman, see we're going to meet these people here, and en route you'll meet up with these leaders of the kuffar, right? And their style is for the trouser to be lower than the ankle, it must drag, that's the style. And the style, you have adopted a new style, your trouser right on top. Mr. Sak is half the shin, right? And now it's against their fashion. Now this is looked down upon. This is looked down upon. They look down upon this with contempt. What they look at with respect is that your trouser must be flowing below your ankles. So going in that way, and they will hold you with esteem. So never, I will not do that. My Hazrat Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, my beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his style is like this. His way is like this. Must I leave my Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's way for these people? I don't need to imitate them or curry favor with them. Who are they to me? They are nothing to me. He maintained this. You see this strictness, this firmness. Small little things, but what was my Nabi's style? What was his way? And with a frame of mind, not just doing it as a routine, but with a frame of mind, that this was my Nabi's method, I'm doing it. I'm doing it because it was his style. And maybe with that you can also just ask, beg Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala, send abundant durood, the best and the choice of durood, to the man that had passed on these values to us. Now and then, you're practicing the sunnah, but now and then when you overwhelm your choices, your most beautiful, most beloved durood, send it to the most beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Can't we do that? So he says that you will enjoy a spiritual togetherness, ma'anavi or ruhani. Maybe it's not a physical, but it's a ma'anavi. And the words of Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib, this thing comes with the adherence of the sunnah. How much you adhere? Small things, big things. Then we are encouraging our children to do it as well. We come with our children to the masjid. It's a very great thing, right? We'll be teaching them, right? So we'll teach them, all right, you will come in with wuzu, every step what happens to you. So he's understanding, he's recognizing, right? You have come with wuzu, and every step on the way, it's the reward that you're going to get, right? Then you come in, and you read the dua, and you read it aloud a little bit. Some person, at least in the crowd, must read loudly. The children are forgetful, they will also recite the dua. Coming out again, you're doing the same. In the masjid, you are showing them how to sit with respect. If you are afraid, for example, that they may get into some talk with some other child, or some other child will talk to them, then you just be around with them, be near them, so that they cannot get into a conversation with someone, and nobody can start them off. So they are free of problem, and people are also free of their problems. So they understand the respect of the masjid. In the meanwhile, they are learning what is a masjid. People who see them say, "Mashallah, see the children, what discipline they have got." In the meanwhile, we are contributing towards an ambiance of the masjid. And see the masjid, well behaved, they are sitting, reading some Quran Sharif, zikr, they are talking, they are not getting into any gossip and discussion as though it is the grandfather's lounge or something. No, it's Allah's house. And I need to see it all the respect. I need to see it all the muhabbat. I'm entering with the children, but with this frame of mind. See, so that's the legacy that you left behind. Now, can you understand now how much of the sunnah you would have revived? So simple procedures.